Welcome back to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we look ahead to the events going on around the world in the upcoming week. Now, Afshin, we're only in March. I know you're away right now, but how do you think the weeks have panned out so far this year? It's been pretty bleak, hasn't it, the first 2 months of the year?
Pretty bleak. Well, genocide tends to do that. Yeah, that is true. Of course, it's never have I ever experienced the earth like I have. In the past 3 months, in the past 4 months, in the past 5 months, really. I mean, obviously, for Gaza, it's since the siege of Gaza, not since October the 7th. But it is a terrible, terrible time. At least, I suppose, the war, the proxy war in Ukraine, may be on its final steps, as we're hearing about German leaked messages about its role in Ukraine. That's after Vladimir Putin said nuclear war could be triggered by NATO nations having ground troops in Ukraine. Maybe the war in Europe may be coming towards an end. At least there's not any flare-ups in the South China Sea.
Yeah, well, I think it's been quite mixed. We've got some mixed news this week. If you're watching or listening, you can decide whether you think it's good or bad. But let's start now with a Monday, the 4th of March 2024. So perhaps arguably seemingly positive on the surface, at least this first story is the date that US President Joe Biden suggested as the start of a fresh ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Now, this one's quite interesting. So last week he told reporters that he was hoping a ceasefire could start on Monday, though currently there's been no official announcements. Biden also said a ceasefire would, quote, probably not happen, though he hoped it would. So I suppose arguably a strange thing to say. If you want a ceasefire, you surely want it on any day, not on just a particular day that you pick. You think a ceasefire is actually unlikely to happen. But he did say, when asked, he said, "I hope by the beginning of the weekend, the end of the weekend, my national security advisor."
He was eating an ice cream and pouring billions of dollars of weapons while talking about ceasefire and the importance of getting this legislation through in Congress at the same time, trying to get weapons to Netanyahu. There is some good news in that the head of intelligence and there's been mass resignations in Netanyahu's cabinet. But I don't think we should trust Biden on anything. I think what he has to say makes no difference at all as regards the genocide. So the really exciting thing, I suppose, given all the dead, the wounded, the famine now threatening more than 1.8 million people, is whether he is named as a co-conspirator in genocide and whether it triggers the Invasion of Holland Act in the United States as to whether they have to invade Holland, because technically the World Court indicts Biden, Sunak, and Ursula von der Leyen, and who knows who else, who is supplying the weapons that enabled the genocide.
Yeah, well, that case at the ICJ is obviously upcoming, and that will take a while before we hear any conclusions. But the other thing about this ceasefire that the US now seems to be calling is it's only a temporary ceasefire that they're calling for, around 6 weeks, which will only be enough to get the Israeli hostages released and to send in some humanitarian aid to Gaza, which they have done. What's that?
The Israelis have killed the hostages, haven't they, as we know here. And why
there are seven, Hamas say about around seven, they think, have died, though they have also said it's impossible to tell exactly how many hostages are still alive and how many are not, given your right Israeli bombardment. Some have been killed as a result of that, according to Hamas.
And the Israelis are killing their hostages, the Palestinian hostages, which number in their thousand kidnapped and imprisoned in Israel. Why would Hamas and Islamic Jihad release these Israelis for a temporary ceasefire so that then they have no leverage and then Netanyahu can then kill all the remaining people in Gaza? I don't understand the rationale on the side of the resistance in Palestine for this.
Yeah, well, I suppose the US has been cautious anyway with what it's been calling for in terms of ceasefire. We know it's been very hesitant for a long time. But we will go back to Israel.
You're talking about Biden. It's the Moscow peace talks that are the important ones. And the Palestinian negotiators were in Moscow in the past 48, 72 hours. So that's really where ultimate peace may be organized. I don't see How the United States, I mean, in the United States, Biden's coming under political pressure from the Democrats, I suppose. So that will help on that end. And then in terms of realpolitik and everything, the United States and NATO nations have destroyed all credibility now in the Middle East. It'll take, 100 years maybe, before people think that the United States is a rational player, let alone an honest broker in the Middle East. I mean, they've destroyed their reputations in the entire Arab world and arguably the entire global South. Look at Lula in Brazil denouncing the US-UK EU armed genocide.
Okay. Well, also on Monday, speaking of the US and things it arguably does wrong, the US National Guardsman, who has been charged with leaking classified military documents on social media, Dak Teixeira, is expected to change his plea to guilty. Now, you may remember he was an employee of the US Air Force National Guard, and he was arrested back in April last year for allegedly sharing these documents online, hundreds, thousands of documents released. He originally pleaded not guilty to the charges unauthorized retention and transmission of national defense information, and unauthorized removal of retention of classified material in violation of the Espionage Act. Now, as I say, there are several documents, some we know on the war in Ukraine, Ukraine's air defenses.
What are they exactly? I mean, I can understand why you'd want to change the plea because they kill whistleblowers and try to kill journalists showing the things. It's fascinating, some of these leaks. And if you look on the internet, all these so-called mainstream media talk about Jack Teixeira, but not about the actual revelations in great detail anymore.
But that's right. It's hard to find out exactly what was leaked, you're right.
And the Pentagon said that China would be drawn into the Ukraine proxy war. That's the understanding within the US military, and yet the weapons, Biden still sent the weapons in. The NATO nations still did that, knowing from their intelligence China would enter, not that they have, of course, and that the UK wanted to join in a war against China, and that the IAEA was a proxy for the Washington, and all sorts of fascinating leaks. But you can't really find them on the internet that easily, rather like WikiLeaks was tried, the intelligence services, presumably in NATO nations, try to stop the public's understanding where their money went and what intel has been gathered.
That's right. There are thousands of documents leaked. I was on a server known as Thugshaker Central. And you're right, it is hard to find out exactly what a lot of them said. And you're right, he must have had some kind of plea deal. The charges he faces he would get several decades, most likely, in prison. So perhaps that's why he struck a plea deal.
Did you use Google search? Did you? Because I think it might be just Google is the problem. Or is it DuckDuckGo? You know, when you search for the Teixeira document,
because they've hidden it.
Is a Pentagon contractor. So why would Google want you to see these documents?
Perhaps, who knows? But as you say, we can make comparisons, arguably, to him and Julian Assange's WikiLeaks, who actually I will go on to.
Or to Chelsea Manning, really. To Chelsea Manning.
Yes, obviously it's a different thing, but similar, arguably, in the treatment. Of these people now. And I know we've got to be quite quick.
We've got to mention the China meeting, the biggest meeting of the, what is it called? The Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference. Thousands of delegates in the most powerful, economically powerful by PPP country in the world. All the Communist Party members from all across the regions are meeting to discuss what the future is for China, which usually means the future for all of us on Earth, I think.
That being on Monday.
Yeah. Is it 2 day, Monday and Tuesday?
Monday and Tuesday, yes. Well, also, the deadline for lawyers and Julian Assange, as we just mentioned, of WikiLeaks, his appeal case. It's the deadline for the lawyers on both sides to submit documents of some kind. I know the judges have asked for more information before they make their final decision. As everyone will probably remember, there was a hearing, a two-day hearing a couple of weeks ago, and people had expected a verdict on whether or not Julian Assange would get his appeal rejected. And that's, of course, an appeal to not be extradited to the US to face trial in connection with thousands of leaked documents which revealed US war crimes. Now, it's unclear if there will be a verdict this week, although Assange's lawyers have said that if he doesn't win the appeal, that he'll go to the European Court of Human Rights for an emergency order because there's a risk to his life and a risk of torture, allegedly, though, of course, they may not order it in his favor, and the UK may not oblige, although legally they would have to. But I don't know, do you reckon we'll get a verdict? Do you have any inkling of what the verdict
is?
It would be
amazing. I'm wearing the T-shirt. You know, he's the greatest journalist of our times. George Galloway is sworn in on Monday, great supporter of Julian Assange. If he is released, maybe George will bring him into the House of Parliament for a victorious meeting there. But of course, from what we both heard, Millie, we've heard so much about his health deteriorating. He was, I mean, they've tried to destroy his health. He's in the maximum security prison in London. And the UN Special Rapporteur, Nils Melzer, said he was tortured by the British. So if he was too ill to even attend these hearings, I think we all fear, and those of us who've met him when he was in better times, are just worried that we're... We're just worried what we're going to see, aren't we? I mean, how... I mean, hopefully he'll survive and won't die before any of these things happen. But they're,
it's his mental health, mental health issues that many people have reported. He's obviously a suicide risk, as we know, which is the whole issue about him being extradited. And as you say, it was former UN Special Rapporteur Nils Melzer. And just to be a stickler for accuracy, I'll just quote what Nils Melzer said back in 2019. And he said, we could see that Assange showed all the symptoms that are typical for prolonged exposure to psychological torture, and that he's been exposed to constant anxiety and stress. So it's not like he's being waterboarded. And of course, the UK would say it doesn't use torture, but in the sense of his mental health, certainly has had a big deterioration and is where people are particularly worried about him and what would happen to him if he was extradited to the United States.
But the British do, of course, use torture, as we know from the Bahamoussa case. There's video of British soldiers torturing prisoners, civilian prisoners. So it's been pretty routine, the British use of torture, let alone in Northern Ireland. And also the Americans, of course, plan to assassinate him. So even if he is released, say he had to get on a plane straight out after from the prison to Australia, because he's Australian, we know from the Spanish case going through there, that who knows, the Americans might stop the car on the way to Heathrow Airport and kill him.
CIA, right?
But I think the papers show that it was in concert with British authorities. So it'd be MI6, the British police, the CIA. I mean, it was the most bizarre, as if they'd been watching Mission Impossible or the Bourne trilogy or something. I mean, absolutely appalling. What they do to journalists trying to be journalists, real journalists in Britain.
Well, arguably they wouldn't make it so obvious, but of course that is the reason why the European Court of Human Rights is said to perhaps get involved if the hearing doesn't go his way. Potentially this week we may hear, so we'll look out for that. Also,
you might be able to hear, there's a fountain noise going on behind me. Don't know whether that's, you can hear it, but anyway.
Fountain loud noise. Music.
All right.
Okay. So also on Tuesday, Super Tuesday in the USA, which is the day where most U.S. states hold primary
elections. Are you going to tell me which states then?
I'm not going to give you a list of states. I know you did on your TNT. So if anyone wants to know the states, they can watch your video. It's 16 states will be holding primaries. Where they'll choose a nominee for president on both the Republican and Democrat side. Now, it's still unclear, as of now, whether Donald Trump will appear on the ballot in Colorado in particular after they tried to disqualify him. They will be one of the states voting on Super Tuesday. Now, we're still waiting on a decision by the Supreme Court, which should come through by Monday, on whether or not the ballot ban is valid. But, I mean, the race is really only between two people, isn't it, Afshin? So is it
Cornel West and Marianne Williams. No, who's your money?
Yeah, but what we know is, you know, what it's likely to be, certainly in terms of Democrats and the Republicans. So I don't really know how much we'll get from Super Tuesday that we didn't already know. I know Nikki Haley over the weekend won one of the primary elections, didn't she? Which is more seen as symbolic rather than...
There's no senator from D.C. anyway. Famously, D.C., District of Columbia, where Washington is the only state or district, as it's called, that gets taxed, but they get no representation in Congress.
That's right.
So, weird, Americanism. What was the other thing?
You got something else for Tuesday?
I know we have to rush through it. I was just thinking the results from Bayer that make aspirins, used to make heroin, and famously helped to make with IG Farben the chemical weapons to gas Jews, communists, LGBTQ people in Auschwitz. But of course, all is forgotten about all these big German companies.
Yeah.
But now,
important to you, I assume, because you've got shares in them.
No, I'm not saying you should. One should obviously invest in these companies. But I noticed on Tuesday the German war minister, Pistorius, will be going to Stockholm, no doubt, to congratulate Sweden on joining NATO and thus pushing us all to some sort of other European war. And most importantly, and Rauer will be talking about the funding situation after Britain and the United States tried to act with Israel to starve the people of Gaza to death.
Yes. Although, obviously, the US has been dropping aid into Gaza.
What was that about? Why didn't they just drive the aid through the Rafah crossing? Egypt wouldn't have had a problem with that. Why do they have to airdrop? So the Americans,
Israel,
they send the weapons.
Israel's allowing trucks, is it? Which is the problem. It says what Israel's allowing.
They could have just driven it from Egypt to Gaza. There's no Israel there.
Well, clearly Egypt isn't allowing.
No, clearly the Americans are sending weaponry to kill those people. We saw the horrific mass murder of those by the aid trucks over the weekend. So those are American weapons killing those people. And the Americans are going, it's too dangerous for us to deliver the aid because we know it's too dangerous because we're sending in the weapons. So we'll airdrop the food and supplies, which is not, what was it, 38,000 for 1.5 million, 1.9 million people. Absolute just window dressing the genocide. And that's what Biden and his colleagues are clearly doing.
Okay, well, let's go to Wednesday. Wednesday, the West African Republic of Ghana is celebrating its Independence Day from the UK in 1957, when it became independent. It was the first sub-Saharan African country to become independent from European rule, and it was Prime Minister Kwame Nkrumah who became Ghana's first...
Kwame Nkrumah, one of the greatest African leaders.
Well,
through the CIA.
That's right. And he said, when it became independent, the African people are capable of managing their own affairs. And Ghana, our beloved country, is free forever. So that, of course, set off a bit of a string. And now all pretty much all the African nations are independent, or certainly many of them are.
None of them are independent, except maybe Burkina Faso. They're all dependent on the IMF and World Bank. They're controlled by Washington. And Washington leverages the debt so that those countries can never be properly independent.
That's
a terrible story that Ghana is so emblematic of. But the struggle of Nkrumah lives on. His name is known by Africans across the continent as one attempt trying to be independent, despite this the scourge of NATO imperialism, I would say.
I noticed
the Nigerian foreign ministers in Moscow, Yusuf Tuggar meeting Sergei Lavrov. What's that about? I thought Nigeria was a US proxy state. It's a huge, it's the oil superpower, one of the oil superpowers of Africa. I know nothing about why he would be visiting Moscow. I think it was alarm bells in the United States, because the president of Nigeria is famously a drug bag handler from Chicago. Is that true? That's the president of Nigeria.
All the relations Russia can get, the better, right? So, why not?
I don't think Washington will like that one bit.
Perhaps not, but does Washington rule everything? Oh, I guess, yes, it does.
Rapidly, it's not ruling things. That's true. I mean, I think they are going to try and overthrow the Colombian government. Gustavo Petro is there, and they're going to be huge CIA-organized demonstrations, apparently, on the Wednesday to try and overthrow the Colombian government, because the Colombian government is much nicer to Cuba and other enemies of the United States. So one should watch out for them trying to put another, usually they have drug despots, don't they, the Americans in Latin America, people like Noriega and so on.
Yeah, well, on Wednesday as well, then, former colonial ruler of the UK, it's their budget day on Wednesday. Now, many people around the world probably find it strange, of course, where famously the country's chancellor this time around, Jeremy Hunt, stands outside Downing Street with a red box meant to symbolise the country's budget, taking the meaning in the red quite literally, which, as we know, the UK is very much so in. There's a lot of speculation over what the budget will be.
Pre-election, then, isn't it? It's basically a pre-election budget.
Yeah. Well, of course, the UK should be having its next general election by start of next year. It's already had three prime ministers since the last general election.
We had two prime ministers that were never elected by the popular vote in Britain. Like Rishi Sunak was never given, there was no popular vote on him being prime minister. He's just there.
Well, I think even in the last general election, that was an unplanned general election, wasn't it? Because Boris Johnson, the previous prime minister who was elected, the last prime minister who was elected in, took over from
the previous.
So all a bit of a mess, arguably. But I don't know. Do you think this budget will have much impact around the world? Obviously, we know sending aid.
I suppose people will laugh because presumably they'll cut or try not to raise taxes on drink. And I mean, as long as they can keep the population drunk to not know what is being done in their name in terms of genocide and pouring the money into Ukraine at the expense, arguably, of the British people. And this chancellor, Rishi Sunak's chancellor, of course, famous for destroying the health service in Britain, increasing the amount of private partnerships with the public healthcare system. I heard the waiting times in accident emergency are 50 hours and things like that now. Clearly the country is in dire straits, and there's no difference really between Labour and Conservative, as George Galloway keeps on going on about. And George Galloway, who is known all around the world, his name has been, his election to Parliament this week has been in every newspaper in Latin America, Africa, Southeast Asia. And he famously said, you know, he got more of the vote in a by-election, albeit, than all the other parties combined. And he says there's no difference between
these
parties.
It really seems to have shaken things up in Downing Street and in Parliament. So we'll see what comes of all that.
What else is on Thursday?
Well, speaking of budgets on Thursday, the OECD, or some people might say the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, is releasing its 2024 Global Debt Report, which will examine, quote, sovereign, corporate and sustainable bond markets and provide insights into current market conditions. I don't know if anyone will really care about this or be surprised by it at all.
Their forecasts are famously wrong. The real event on Thursday is this Basel III meeting, which allows, they regulate how much banks can, how much money banks can create when you get a loan from that bank. So when you borrow $100 from a bank, the bank can multiply that. It'll give you the $100 and it invents $500. I think the ratio is 5-1. But then it went to 3-1 in the 2008 crisis. And they're going to decide on how much those banks can manufacture out of thin air in terms of money, which is related to everyone. But it's so opaque, people don't really understand it except the top bankers. And you know, we should all be in Basel really, trying to find out what on earth is going on, and try and be bankers ourselves really, because I wouldn't mind being able to create money out of thin air.
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see you being a banker for everyone. But perhaps the biggest thing happening on Thursday, or one of the biggest, Joe Biden in the US is making the annual State of the Union address, which is a message, as we know, given by the President of the United States to Congress, usually held near the start of the calendar year as a kind of roundup of the condition of the country. Now, the history of it, of course, George Washington in 1790 was the first president to give that address to Congress. And if we remember, there have been a few famous ones. 60 years ago, exactly, Lyndon Johnson said that his Congress would be remembered as the one that declared all-out war on human poverty. We know human poverty is still rife around the world.
Except in Southeast Asia, obviously, where he committed arguable genocide in all those countries.
Another one 22 years ago, President George W. Bush declared North Korea, Iran, and Iraq the axis of evil following 9/11. But I don't know, do you expect any of Biden's to be particularly memorable? I'm sure he'll have a thing or two to say on
Bush did that.
On Israel.
George Bush said after 9/11 that North Korea, Iran, and which?
George W. Bush. North Korea, Iran, and Iraq are the axis of evil.
All three countries not involved in 9/11 at all. That was a good speech. No, the memorable speech is Donald Trump's, written by the far-right wing figure of Steve Bannon. And it was a beautiful speech, arguably, about American carnage and what it had done to the deindustrialization of the Midwest. I don't know what Biden is going to do. Do you? I mean, how will he get through the speech? Clearly, special counsel Robert Hur says he can't remember things. He's an elderly man. That's why he commits criminal actions like keeping important secret papers in his house rather in its garage rather than
that was his excuse, wasn't it? Yeah, or as we've mentioned on this show, that he's an elderly man, a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, I believe was the exact quote.
Bombing Gaza with 5 Hiroshima bombs in the tail end of his presidency.
Yeah, although actually I will say on that next week, which I'm sure we'll discuss, that same special counsel Robert Hur, I think there'll be an investigation into his report and into his findings, because some people say that a lot more should have been done over Biden holding classified documents. Now, Friday, his opponent and rival Donald Trump is expected to meet the Hungarian Prime Minister, Viktor Orban, at the scene of some of Trump's alleged crimes at Mar-a-Lago. Now, Viktor has actually said of Trump Trump comeback is the only serious chance for an end to the war in Ukraine. He said Trump's return is a precondition for a strong and quick peace in the European continent. Is he right? Is he wrong?
Isn't it? World leaders already meeting Trump as if he's president. You wouldn't think of that if you watch the major nation media, right? If you watch their media, it's like, oh, Trump's a criminal. He's going to go to jail. Look at him. Everything he does is illegal. He organized a revolution on January the 6th. And when what's really happening is world leaders are going to meet him as if he's already president.
Not really clear exactly why they're meeting, but clearly Viktor Orban is a supporter of Trump, so I assume that's why he desperately
wants peace in Europe. Well, Viktor Orban has said, I suppose like Putin, there's a need for negotiation. Obviously, Zelensky has made it illegal to negotiate the end of the war. Only violence is what NATO and Zelensky say will end the war.
Yeah, that's right. And keeping with the theme of Trump, on Saturday, he's also he's due to make the payment of $83.3 million in the defamation case against him brought by E. Jean Carroll. And now he's trying to appeal the verdict, as we know, or at least to get a reduced verdict. But the state of Trump's finances seem to be quite uncertain. Last week, he'd offered to post a $100 million bond while he appeals, and the judge said, he said it's impossible to secure a bond with that judgment, and it's all a bit of a mess. I don't know, is it going to be a problem for potentially the next president of the United States to be bankrupt? And of course, that's not all the money he owes.
Military industrial complex doesn't like Trump. So there have been talk about his campaign suffering losses in funds because the big multinational companies do not want Trump to defund the military and end the Ukraine war, which is so profitable for the arms industry and all their allied causes in Google and whatever. So Trump is not a good bet for business in that sense, although Trump supports the genocide in Gaza. So I suppose there may be some military elements that think he could still promote war, because Trump famously did not launch any massive wars while being president, unlike Obama, Bush, and all the rest of them.
That's right. Some people
did send weapons to Ukraine. Yeah, that's true. Trump did help kick that one off.
Yeah, earlier on in his presidency. Now, finally, on Sunday, kind of the opposite almost of Monday, it is Israel's deadline for all hostages to be released by Hamas, as we mentioned earlier, before an offensive begins.
Is that Israel's deadline?
Israel's deadline is on Sunday because that is the day that Ramadan begins. Yeah, so, well, it means that they will begin their offensive. And I'll quote last month, Benny Gantz, the former alternate prime minister of Israel, said, if by Ramadan our hostages are not home, the fighting will continue everywhere to include the Rafah area. Now, we know, as we said earlier, around half or more than half of the Palestinian population escaped to Rafah. This will be a real escalation. And even the US has, in so many words, warned against, or at the very least, discouraged an offensive on Rafah. And we know Israel hasn't even been engaged in the ceasefire talks that the US has been trying to propose over the weekend. As we said earlier, Hamas hasn't told them how many Israeli hostages it has left, because, as you said, Israel has killed allegedly some of the hostages through
Israel killed peaceful people on October the 7th, as the Israeli press is exposing.
That's right. But I don't know, how do you expect it to pan out? It's not really looking good, is it, if by the end of the next weekend this is going to happen? I assume Hamas isn't planning on releasing the hostages. So it's not looking very good, is it?
It sounds horrific. And the Arab world, you know, Arab League is part of the genocide case at the World Court, as if the people of Gaza can wait for this genocide case to go through. It's just appalling. I mean, the only country really doing anything is Yemen, and they sank that British flagged vessel recently. So I suppose we can expect Yemen to step up to the plate. We can expect Lebanon to step up to the plate, and there will be responses. Certainly responses from Lebanon, because Lebanese resistance groups have made it clear every time Israel tries to bomb a part of Lebanon, they're immediately the resistance forces attack back, and resistance forces in Lebanon can hit Tel Aviv with their long distance missiles. So perhaps they won't. The Israelis won't attack Lebanon while they are ethnically cleansing the 1.5, 1.9 million in southern Gaza. Or they will make the mistake and do it on two fronts, in which case Israel is in for a pretty tough few weeks.
Well, when we're back next week, we'll be able to give an update on what's happened with that. But we better leave it there. I know we've got a rush. But thank you for watching.
There'll be big demonstrations, though, next Saturday, of course, as usual.
That's right.
All around the world against the US-UK EU armed genocide.
That's right. But yeah, we will give the updates. But we better leave it there. Thank you very much for watching or listening. You can watch on YouTube, listen on Spotify. Please leave us a comment. We love to get your feedback. We love to hear what you've got to say on any of the stories we've mentioned. And we will be back next week. Bye for now.
Bye.